Hello, this is Darrell Gunter, your host for Leadership on WSOU 89.5 FM and streaming on the web. Well, this is part 3.5 of a five-point series on consultative sales for the CEO. Sales for the CEO, what we're looking to achieve in this show, this five-part series, really more than five parts, is to provide CEOs and business leaders, whether you're a managing director, whether you're a chief commercial officer, whether you are a chief revenue officer, your executive vice president, anyone who is interacting with the sales organization, sales team, this is the series for you. Why is this the series for you? It is so important for you to understand the psychology of a sales professional. It's important for you to understand the jargon of sales. It's important for you to understand the mindset of salespeople. It's important for you to understand what is a sales process and sales methodology. What is a pipeline and what is a forecast? These are the things that we are covering over the course of this series to ensure that you understand the language of sales and you understand what are the key questions as an executive that you can ask your sales leader to get the best answers as to why sales are going well. If they're not going well, why aren't sales going better? What are the key issues that the company needs to address? What are the key issues within the sales organization that the company needs to address? Do you have the right sales process and procedure and methodology? Is everyone trained in that sales process and methodology? A lot of times, as I've said to the CEOs that I coach, typically they would hire someone to be in charge of sales and business development, and they figure, oh, okay, I got that solved. What I am stressing to my fellow executives is that they need to establish a clear sales process and methodology, not just for the sales organization, but for the entire organization. As I've always said, everyone in the company is in sales. Every interaction that your customers, your clients, your prospects, your future prospects should be a delighted experience that people would want to do business with your company. And everybody needs to understand their role and responsibility in making that a reality. For example, you might have someone who called and trying to reach their salesperson, and you get someone from another department. And instead of that person in the other department really understanding the needs of that person, they simply want to transfer them as soon as possible. Imagine, let me give you a little role play. Here's role play one when they just transfer you over. Hello, I'm trying to reach Darrell Gunter, my sales rep. Okay, his extension is 345. I'll transfer you over. Okay, that's the undelighted experience. Now let's talk about the delighted experience. Hi, I'm trying to reach my salesperson, Darrell Gunter. Oh, hi, my name is Bethany. And let me check. I don't think Darrell is in right now, but I can take a message for you if you like, or I can transfer you into his voicemail. Which would you prefer? Oh, could you take a message for me, Bethany? Absolutely. So you see the difference between the two experiences. One experience is, let me get you off the phone as soon as possible. I don't want to tell you who I am. I don't want to understand what your issue is. However, the second example with Bethany, Bethany is taking time to establish rapport. And that's a key thing. Rapport can be established at every interaction with a customer, client, prospect, et cetera, et cetera. Every phone call that comes into, or every email that comes into, or text message that comes into your domain is an opportunity to establish rapport. And establish rapport is one of the most important things that a sales professional can do, or a company, more, like I said, more so that the company can do. So what I want to do now is just to review the consultative sales process and methodology for that. And I'm going to share my screen here. For those of you who are just listening to the podcast, I just want you to know that the video podcast will be up shortly. So as you see here, we are in our consultative sales process. For those of you who don't know, I'm an adjunct professor at Seton Hall University. As we talked about, we have the planning phase. And in your pre-call plan, or pre-call analysis, this is where we want to establish our sales hypothesis. And we talked about this in the previous podcast, but just allow me to review this ever so quickly. So we want to understand, well, what are our objectives for this particular prospect? What do we think their needs and their interests are? What is the value that our product, good, or service brings to the table? What are the particular vulnerabilities of our product, good, or service that we should be aware about? Our competition. What is our competitive position? How do we stand against our competition? What is our SWOT analysis? Strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. In order to deliver on this sales hypothesis, what internal support will be required to make sure that we can deliver this product, good, or service to the customer on time in the best shape? Now, let's look at how we're going to prepare for this call. Let's pull out our pre-call planner, which allow me to show you here. This pre-call planner, as you see here, we have the name of the client or prospect, the date. We want to understand, who are the key contacts? Who are the decision-making unit? What is their current situation? And what do we see as our opportunity? So here we look at, well, what is our call objectives? Again, what is our internal support that's going to be required? For our first meeting, what type of commitment are we seeking? And what do we anticipate the next steps will be and the dates of those next steps? Now, coming back to our consultative sales process framework, we see here that we want to make sure that we establish an agenda for the meeting. And the agenda, always simple. Introductions, understand, get more information about what's going on at your customer's situation. Number three, provide them with information about your product, good, or service. Number four, discussion, next steps. Simple agenda, always works. Make sure that we're giving the customer the right time and attention to their product. Now, let's think about the opening. The opening of the call, we talked about that last week. And the opening of the call is where we do the introduction, we establish rapport, we give them the value statement, we establish the common ground with them, we confirm our objective, confirm the agenda and the time, and see if they want to add anything to the agenda as well. The pricing review is where we always want to make sure that we have a good sense of what our product, good, or service will cost based upon our sales hypothesis. So you want to make sure you've gotten those numbers down. Anticipate objections, right? We want to make sure that in our questioning strategy, that we're anticipating objections for that. So as we go up the ladder, in the sales consultative sales process, we have our opening, which is our greeting, our rapport building, our value statement, establish the common ground, confirm the objective, confirm the agenda and the time frame. Now, the next phase, and after we go through the pleasantries of establishing the opening, and that's where we transition. And the way, the best way to transition is to simply say, I want to thank you for allowing me to come down. Again, thank you for allowing me to come down today. I'd like to learn more about what's happening at your company. And this is where we're looking to ask confirming and clarifying questions. And we want to think about three to five questions that are very important for us to understand. And you want those questions to build. And that's where there's two types of questions that one can ask. And what you need to do is to ask those type of open-ended questions, which allows the person to really speak extemporaneously and give you more information. And if they said something that was quite significant, this is where you want to stress the importance of that by doing paraphrasing. Oh, so Mr. Customer, you said that currently your trucks are breaking down after 2,000 miles and it is disrupting your order delivery. Is my understanding correct? And they go, yes, that's correct. And so that's where we're paraphrasing and we're clarifying what they have said. Now, there is a time for us to use closed-ended questions. Closed-ended questions are great when you just want to confirm that, do we still have 45 minutes to meet today? Yes. And so have you budgeted for this new project for this year? Yes, you get my point. It's a question that gives you information, confirms information, and doesn't take a lot of time. So it allows you to get a firm understanding. Recently, with one of my clients, the chief revenue officer was let go. And the reason why the chief revenue officer was let go was simply because of his inability to ask clarifying and confirming questions. For example, they were working on one particular deal for about 8 months. And when it came time where they felt it was the right time to close, the prospect told them that they didn't have budget for it. And the CEO was like very upset because he felt that they shouldn't have known that the customer didn't have budget from the very first meeting. So that's why it's important to ask those questions, those confirming and clarifying questions. So now as we think about the probe and the listening, and this is where it's very important that we have a sales hypothesis and our questions are centered around confirming the sales hypothesis. Once we find that sales hypothesis is confirmed, then we can move to the next phase of course, pressing for more specifics, getting more information, and then summarizing their position. And this is the part where I'm going to show you a four-part series of how to structure your call so that you're able to get information on establishing a relationship, getting information about their company and their situation, getting sharing information about your product, good, or service, and then closing for a commitment. And you'll see here coming up the ladder after we've done that, now we're selling value, right? And the selling value is where we're confirming their needs. We're describing how our features are meeting their needs, and we're outlining the benefits to them. So, Mr. Customer, if I understand correctly, you have a situation where you need for your trucks to be able to go to 5,000 miles before oil change versus 3,000 miles. The customer goes, yes. Well, let me share with you about our particular synthetic oil that will allow you to even go beyond 5,000 miles. And the benefit to you is that your trucks will break down less, you'll have more productive trail routes, and it will also cost less. Does that make sense, Mr. Customer? And the customer will say, oh, yes, that does make sense. Now, also in this sales process, whether you're on the phone, whether you're face-to-face, whether you're on video. You have to be very, very interested in understanding their cues, their body cues, their voice cues, their language cues. And you want to make sure that everything is staying positive. If you get a cue that you're getting the sense that maybe the customer is not happy about something or unclear about something, take a step back and then ask questions, clarifying questions around that particular cue that you receive, okay? Also, if they are, you want to reinforce positive responses, you want to use that. You want to put that in the bank. You want to make sure that you are sharing with them what they are saying, which are good things, which reinforces your sales hypothesis. Now, after the sell value, it comes time for the close. A lot of folks get hung up on making closing like a real big hype thing. Well, closing is important, but it's also very simple. If you have followed all of these steps, and if you want to, in the closing process, you want to summarize the agreement, you want to provide documentation, you want to confirm implementation plan, you want to express confidence and appreciation. So, Mr. Customer, as we've discussed, you have a need for an oil that's going to allow your trucks to go beyond 3,000 miles. With that, our oil is going to be able to allow you to go beyond 5,000 miles, which the benefit to you is that your trucks will not break down. You'll get more time out of your trucks. Your deliveries will be on time and you will reduce your costs. And when would you like to begin our program? And then be quiet. After you ask for the business, be quiet. A lot of folks get a little nervous when there's some hesitation. But if you have followed all of your steps and read all the cues correctly, you should be able to close. Now, the customer might say, well, you know, I really love your program. It's the right program. Let me see when I'm able to sign this agreement. And that's another thing that I want to bring up. You want to make sure that your salesperson is dealing with the right decision-making unit and making sure that they understand their procurement process and understand what are the steps. Like, give you an example. There's a business out there that has a sourcing department. So you're dealing with the people who are going to utilize the product, good or service, but they have a sourcing department that actually enters into a negotiation phase with the vendors. And then, of course, you have to be pre-approved to, you got to make sure that if there's a sourcing process, make sure you understand that. If there is a policy of establishing purchase orders, make sure you understand that as well. So again, just let me reiterate what we have here in the consultative sales process. We have the planning, the pre-planning phase where we establish the sales hypothesis. We have the opening of the call. And then during the call, we have the probe and listening, and then the sell value, and then the close. Now, we've talked about the pre-call planner, which you see here. And we also are now going to show you a very important tool to use, the strategy planner, that takes those four areas: relationship, information, product, commitment. There's a give and get on both areas. The give is where you're giving information. The get is where you're getting information. And the getting information is where you are establishing the sales hypothesis, making sure that you're confirming what your sales hypothesis is. And the same thing with the give and with the giving is supporting your sales hypothesis, because you want to make sure that your client totally understands how you and your product, good or service is going to meet their needs and help them to achieve their objectives. It's all about being the wise counsel, the trusted advisor to your client. You always want to make sure that everything that you do is supporting what they need to achieve. It's not about you. It's not about your product, good or service. It's about what your product, good or service can do for them. And if your salesperson is not doing that, then they're being transactional. A transactional salesperson skips steps. A transactional salesperson only talks about themselves. A transactional salesperson only cares about themselves. A transactional salesperson really doesn't care about the company. They only care about what the company will pay them if they sell it. So let's look at this area. We looked at the sales process, and this strategy planner is in the same order. So here you see we have the relationship. And this is where we're establishing rapport. Establishing rapport is being genuine and authentic. Genuine and authentic to the point where the customer prospect really gets the sense that you are serious about them, that you are really interested in helping them to be successful. We often said the best salespeople that you can hire are the people who want to help someone. So here in a relationship, establishing rapport, we're going to get information. We want to talk to them about something genuine, important to them. It could be a sport that they play. It could be an activity. It could be a nonprofit activity that they're involved. Within LinkedIn, there's so much information that you can go on about someone, but you don't want to go in there and give them a laundry list of what they've done. No, you want to pick maybe one, no more than two items to talk about, you know, what's important to them outside of their work. And you also want to share something about yourself that's genuine and authentic. You don't want to give them your complete bio, because then that takes up all the time in your call. But you want to be able to have that conversation with them. And that allows you to really establish rapport, allows you to get them to begin to establish a trusted advisor role with you. Now, in the next phase is information. Now, this is where we want to get information from them about, let's use the trucking company, get information about what their goals are, what their challenges have been, how have they dealt with those challenges, what are some of the ideas that they've tried, and how did they go? And this is where you can give information about some of the experiences that you've had, what you have witnessed other customers have done. You know, always you want to be able to share information that is public knowledge. You don't want to share any confidential information that any client has ever provided you. But you want this information phase where you're building a lot of trust with your client because you're asking them questions that pertain to their business and what they're trying to achieve. Also, you want to make sure that they're talking 70% of the time and you're talking 30% of the time. You want to make sure that you do that. And then also moving on to the next item, which is product. And this is where you want to get information from them in regards to why they feel that they could use your product similar to yours. But also this is where you get the sell value. This is where you get to talk about their needs, the features of your product, and the benefits to them. You want to give them experiential information about how other clients have benefited and prospered from your product, good, or service. That's very important. And then last but not least is a commitment and understanding your procurement process, understanding where they are in their business cycle, understanding where they are in their budgeting cycle, understanding they are with their need for your product, good, or service. This is where you would determine what is the best commitment. Is a commitment that, okay, they want to take this information, go back to another committee, Is there that they wanted to do a trial? Is it another committee that they have to go back to in order to discuss this further, as I said earlier? But whatever that commitment is, you want to make sure that it's clear and make sure that you have established what the next step is. So what happens after this call, it is so important that the sales professional does a simple follow-up note. I have found that a lot of folks drop the ball here, but this doing a follow-up note, thanking them for their time, will allow you to confirm what was discussed and also display what the next steps are. It keeps the sales process in flow. It keeps everything moving appropriately. So you want to make sure that you are following this process because, A, relationship establishes rapport, establishes relationship. Information allows you to make sure that you're asking your confirming and clarifying questions, making sure that you're uncovering and confirming your hypothesis, but also there could be something new that you're learning as well, which will allow you to then position the information that you're going to give about your product in the best possible light so that you can increase your value proposition. Last but not least is commitment. Asking for that next step, whatever that next step might be, you want to make sure that you're asking that next step. Now, I want to wrap up for today, but before I wrap up for today, we're going to get into our next phase, which we're going to talk about social styles. In part, this was 3A. The next was going to be 3B, if you will. Because project number four is on negotiation. But what I wanted to share with you are some books that you should consider. Books that you should consider to expand your knowledge of sales and management and motivating people, et cetera, et cetera. Okay. The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People by Covey. It's a classic, still very good today, very important. Influence, The Psychology of Persuasion by Robert Cialdini. We use this in our classroom for the last 10 years. Outliers, Malcolm Gladwell. Important to understand what makes an outlier, which we talked about in the first lecture. About the 10,000 hours. Talent is Overrated, excellent book. It talks about what are the key things to developing talent. The Talent Code, again, another great book that talks about talent. Drive, and then we have Reading People, which is very important. As I said, we want to understand cues. And another book by Malcolm Gladwell, which is Blink. And then, of course, Solution Selling, which is a great support to our consultative sales process for that. So that will wrap it up this week on Leadership with Darrell W. Gunter on WSOU 89.5 FM and streaming on the net at WSOU.net. If you've missed any of these shows, you can go to podbean.com and just type in Leadership. And you'll see currently we have loaded up about 250 of our shows. We have another 100 to load up. So there's a lot of knowledge there, the interviews that we have conducted since 2009. I want to wish you a great weekend. And remember, leadership begins with you.